All right. Well, again, good morning to everybody who came in a little after the first song. Welcome. Glad to see you guys here. We're in a new year, right? Seb said it. It said that we made it to 2022. If I could speak, we'd be there even better. It's another year in Christ Jesus and another year together as the family of God. Amen. 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 And I'm glad you came out this morning. I'm so glad. It's great to see you all as always. I just love it when we can join together in worship and in praise. I just love that. And now we get to learn from God's word together, and we're just going to come to the throne and open up the word, right? And we're going to move forward in the message. And it's a new year, and as is the case, as we all tend to do at the beginning of a new year, we tend to recollect, right? We tend to reflect on how the prior year went for us, the activities, the intersections, the interactions, the events, all of it, the whole year, good and bad, and we reflect upon them, over what we did, over what we didn't do, right? Wish we could have, but didn't, or couldn't, wanted to, but for whatever reason, it didn't go to plan, right? And we reflect on how life was for us last year as we enter into the new year ahead. And through that recollection and through that reflection, we tend to do what? We make plans to do things differently or better, or to just plan, maybe even get moving, right? And we call those what? New Year's resolutions, right? We resolve, we promise ourselves in a way to accomplish whatever it is that we're planning to do in this new year. Whether it's to work harder and get a promotion or get a new job, go back to the gym maybe and get into better shape or lose all the weight, like I've done since putting it on since Thanksgiving, right? Eating constantly or studying the Word. Studying the Word more than we did last year. And I'll leave it right there. You guys figure that out individually. Witness more, serve in church more. Whatever it is, we resolve, right, to do these things in this new year. We make New Year's resolutions. Now, did you know that, a little statistic here, and it varies, so I'll just rough it here, but about 50% of the people each year make resolutions for themselves or goals to get into better physical shape, right? Whether it be eating habits or more physical exercise. And let's be honest with everybody this morning, how do those typically go, right? 8% I read stick to it, and the rest of the people are like lying about it, right? So let me say it a different way. Do any of us have a gym membership that you pay for each month but don't go, right? Don't raise your hands. Just keep it in there. Planet Fitness or whoever it is, they're getting their $10 a month. I just saw the advertisement, right? They're getting it every month, but we don't go. And I raise my hand and admit to having one of those gym memberships. I do. I have it. I don't use it. But in self-defense, I'm not going to speak for anyone else in my family. I'll leave it there. Truth be told, I don't remember the last time, honestly, that I like went to the gym. I know I like to train my son and a few others, my boys, but I haven't been going, okay? And it's funny how, like, in times past, I'll pick on me a little bit here. In times past, even in the recent times, but I'll complain every now and again to Amanda, and I'll be like, oh, I need to go to the gym. I need to get back into shape. I feel horrible. I feel lousy. And she'll be like, no, you look great, hon. You're fine. You're fine. But, like, the last year or two, I will do that, and she just looks at me lovingly and goes, it's okay. It's okay. And then at Christmas, she handed me a cheesecake. So anyway, I don't know what to do with that, but I know she loves me and I love her. But seriously, through all of this, right, all this resolution making and all too often breaking, we always ask ourselves this question in the making of these resolutions. What are we waiting for, right? What are we waiting for? What's holding us up? And that's our challenge this morning and for every day that follows. As children of God, right, as children, servants within the kingdom of Christ, how are we living our lives for Jesus? Okay? That's our challenge. Or perhaps even not so much living our lives for Jesus as we may be doing this more for ourselves, and individually we can assess that, but we know in our hearts that we need to be doing something, right? We need to be doing better. We need to be living more for Jesus and serving more within his kingdom, knowing what needs to be done, right? We know it. And yet perhaps we struggle with the overarching question of, what are we waiting for? What's holding us up? And I know that's technically two questions, but you get the idea. So let me encourage you this morning. This is meant to be an encouragement, I'll say it at the beginning. All right? It's an exhortation and an encouragement that the time for asking that question has passed. Okay? It's passed. And the time for doing has come. All right? The time is now. And that's the title of our sermon for today. The time is now. Now is the time if you're not already doing all you can for the glory of God. And honestly, do any of us ever really fully do that? But we do try. We want to do that more. Now is the time to take that inventory of our lives, right? Clean out the closet of the things, or as Rocky would say, the stuff in the basement, right? That fight for first chair on the throne of our hearts that's solely reserved for our Lord and our Savior, right? To get back to that word, to get back to the word of God and study, to get close to God in prayer, in touch with the Holy Spirit within us, and to get going for Christ and his kingdom, right? Or perhaps even come to Jesus for the first time, okay? To accept him as Lord and Savior and put your faith and put your trust in him, all right? To repent of your sins and start living for Christ. There's no better time. Now. Now is that time. Amen. Amen. We closed our Christmas service a couple of weeks ago. We missed one. A little snow and ice. But we were singing, and we closed it out. We were singing with Go Tell It on the Mountain. Right? And the arrival of Jesus began with the announcement by the angel of the Lord given to the shepherds who were watching over the flocks by night. And a message was of the coming King, the Lord and the Savior Jesus, a message of good news that will cause great joy, as the word said, for all the people. And it was implied to them by the angel of the Lord that they were to go and tell it on the mountain. Go and tell everyone that Jesus Christ is born, that the Messiah has come. And Jesus, the Messiah, now at the age of 33, towards the end of his three-year ministry that would lead him to the cross to endure the penalty for our sin and in substitution for us, right? That the wrath of God would be satisfied and we would be set free from the grip of sin and death should we choose that life in him. Jesus, now before his ascension back into heaven, gathers the 11 disciples back up on the mountain. I said 11, read your Bible, you know what that is, right? And he gives it to them then, right? He gives them then that commission and to us today, that great commission, right? That we read in Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20, to go therefore and what? Make disciples of all men, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to observe all that Jesus had commanded and taught them. And Jesus reminds us each day, like he did his disciples on that day, that he will also be with us always until the end of the age. That's so great. And we have been given this great commission to accomplish, right? Just as the shepherds that night in Bethlehem, so are we also called to spread the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus to all the world. And that starts right here with us. It starts right now, right? With every believer in Christ, every disciple in Jesus, and the time is now. There's no more time to waste. So if you want to make plans for 2022, you want a New Year's resolution that's worth making and worth sticking to, right? There's one right there, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Resolution number one, right? I'd say it's probably the most important one, but it's not the only one. There's more. The word tells us in Hebrews 12, if we look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There's another one. Look, there's another resolution. And look closely at the middle of verse 1. That's another one, another New Year's resolution. Perhaps even the most critical one that you can make, followed by yet another at the end of verse 1 into verse 2. So let's break that down. Let's take it step by step. Verse 1, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. How can we ever expect to succeed as believers in Christ Jesus? How can we ever expect to succeed to effectively, to wholeheartedly live for Jesus, to serve well within his kingdom and spread the good news of the gospel message without fully adhering to that verse 1 and that verse 2, right? There in Hebrews 12, It's no different spiritually than it is physically when it comes to getting into shape for the race that is set before us, right? Physically, one must train for a race, right? Right? You don't just step off the curb of and into a marathon and expect things to just go to plan, do you? It doesn't work that way. Look at what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Okay, so don't run aimlessly. Don't box as one beating the air. Discipline our bodies, right? Speaking as Paul, we need to discipline our bodies and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, we should be disqualified. And I didn't set out to make this like a gym-themed sermon. That's not the point of it, okay? But the word says that we have to run this race. We must run this race with endurance, right? And that takes training. This passage, it ties right back to the prior in Hebrews 12 by saying that we need to get ourselves into tip-top, if you will, tip-top spiritual shape I'm talking about, that we may run with endurance the race that is set before us. Y'all with me? Okay? One has to work out and exercise physically in order to shed unwanted weight and gain strength. How is our spiritual life any different? Any different, right? If we're not immersed in the Word daily, and in that continual right relationship with our Lord, with our Savior Jesus, listening to and following the leading of the Holy Spirit, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, right? I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5 now. Giving thanks in all circumstances because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us, right? And if we're not doing those things, if we're not doing them regularly, training ourselves up, right, in the way that we should go, we're no better than a boxer beating the air, right? Or as one running around aimlessly. And there's that old saying that says, when you aim at nothing, you what? You hit it every time, right? You hit it every time. And that just won't work for us, will it, as Christians, as children of the Most High God, being part of His kingdom, yet remaining ineffective by not doing these things. Ineffective for the kingdom. We're not doing the things that we're called to do, and that's not God's plan for us, is it? Right? Feeling challenged? That's the goal. Encouragement, right? We can't just join up, so to speak, and not go. It doesn't work that way. It's no better than the gym membership that I'll say I'm not using, right? Just like we would still have access. I can still go to Planet Fitness, and the first thing my app says is we've missed you. Right? We could still go, right? As believers, we are going to still, as believers in Christ, gain entrance into heaven. That's secure. That has been secured, okay? Our salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. But it's not a membership scenario to be part of God's kingdom. It's not a club reserved just for us inside of these four walls. And we know that salvation is a free gift, right? It's the free gift, and it comes with a great responsibility. It's a free gift. Okay? But it's also an honor to be a part of the kingdom of God. And don't hear me wrong. I'm not headed down a path of entrance into eternity through the completion of good works. No, that's not what I'm doing. It's not what I'm saying. So let me clarify it from the word. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. We should all know this. For by grace we've been saved through faith. And this is not our own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. No lunkheads at the gym, right? No one can boast. But the word also tells us now that we're here. And now that we're believers in Christ Jesus, there's work to be done for his kingdom, right? Work to be done to reach the lost. To snatch them back from the fires of eternal separation from God, spreading that gospel message until the whole world hears. There's work to be done in learning the word. We have to start there, right? Learn the word, apply the word in our lives, and then teach it. Go teach it to those who are coming into the kingdom as new believers, and even teaching it to some who are maybe older believers and not just coming around to a deeper dive into discipleship. I know I was late to the game for the sake of the kingdom. Doing it all, not in our own strength, which is how salvation by works would play out, right? And that's wrong. where as long as the good outweighs the bad, as that works out, that everything's okay, right? Do enough good things and you'll make God happy and you'll make it in. You'll get your ticket, your golden ticket, right? No, it's not right. Ephesians 2 says it's a free gift, right? It's a free gift, not a good doobie checklist completion reward thing. No, we run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the word says, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, it was a joy. It's hard, but it was a joy for him that was set before him. He endured that cross. He despised the shame, and he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our strength is found in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Without him, we can do nothing. That's John 15:5. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Philippians 4:13. It's our love for God, our reverence for God, our desire to please God as we were created to do that should drive us on. Right? Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with song I praise him. Let us all run the race. Amen? We have much to do. There's a whole lot to do for the sake of the kingdom, and it's going to take all of us. All right? So we need to get ourselves into spiritual shape, no? Right? As one would train for a race set before them. Okay, let us discipline our minds in the study of the word and our hearts to the seeking of the Lord and attune our spirits to hear the voice of guidance from the Holy Spirit within us and then run that race of the gospel in accordance with God's will, with God's plan for our lives in his kingdom, okay? And it's not just something now for pastors or elders or deacons or Sunday school teachers to be doing, okay? It's for all of us in Christ Jesus. Y'all got it, or do I got to say it again? Right? There's my slang. It's mission critical. It's mission critical that we spread the love of Jesus and the truth of his word, of the free gift of salvation, more so now than it has ever been before. And we can say that every day until eternity, because with each day, the world isn't necessarily getting any better, is it? No. No. I heard a preacher once say, and I'll probably get fired for this, but we need to get up off our blessed assurance and get into the game. Okay, all right. We need to get off the bench. We need to get in there. Because souls are at stake. They're unsaved in need of rescue. And they're not the only ones. I'm going to say it. Even some believers are in need of rescue because they're being led astray. Right? The Apostle Paul said it to Timothy way back in biblical times. He called it then, and the importance of getting that gospel message to all nations, and it's more critical now than ever. Debunking now these false doctrines is more critical now than ever. Y'all still with me? I'm going in. Here we go, right? Paul charges Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, just as we are also to receive this charge today. We're charged. Okay, we are charged, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Take that seriously, all right? Who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to want it how they want it, right? How they want to hear it. They'll heap up for themselves now teachers, and you can find their job descriptions, these teachers, in the book of Jude. Go have a read, right? The apostates, the false teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Prosperity, false gospels. Word of faith, falsities, new apostolic deformations. I didn't mispronounce that, right? Entire schools. Watch this, devoted to teaching people how to manipulate and control the movement of the Holy Spirit, if such a thing were even truly possible, which it isn't, to invoke on command signs and wonders. All of it, inching believers away from the truth of God, one scripture twisting at a time. Let's just get deep, right? It's just like the story of a new preacher who took on the role of pastor at a local church, who walked into the auditorium of the church, and he thought it would be best to move that piano from the right side of the stage all the way over to the left side of the stage, so he just moved it. He just moved it one day, okay? And soon after, he was fired for the disruption caused, the upheaval in the congregation by the new placement of the piano. Okay, so if someone comes into a church and goes, let's worship the other one. No, that's not going to go well. We're instantly going to say no thank you, right? But 5 years later, this fired pastor, he returned to the same church to visit with the minister who stepped in after his departure. And they walked into the auditorium and there was the piano on the left side of the stage. And the former preacher, he said, how did you get the piano to the left side of the stage? They fired me for moving it. And the reply from the other minister was plain. Every few weeks, I'd move the piano to the left about an inch. Just about an inch. And over time, it was eventually where I wanted it. Y'all seeing where this is going? Okay. Here it is. Satan doesn't mind us going to church. Did you know that? He doesn't mind us going to church. He wants us there. You know why? Because it's there where he can start to twist the word. You following me? You can hear a pin drop in here. Hang in there, all right? It's one thing for a person outside of the church, a non-believer, to reject the word, to reject Jesus. But it's another thing entirely to corrupt the body of Christ from the inside. Okay? Leading away even the elect, as it says in the word in Matthew 24, verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. This is where Satan gets the most work done, and we have to be spiritually in shape. Okay, this is where this is going. Inside the churches where the congregations are not well-versed in the word, where they're spiritually out of shape, if you will, okay, they can be led astray by wolves in sheep's clothing and rendered ineffective for the kingdom, one believer at a time. I didn't say they lost their salvation, okay? They gain entrance, but they're rendered now ineffective by these lies. You following me? You following me? Okay? And we need to get spiritually in shape. We need to learn the word. We need to reject the stuff that we learned wrong. We need to go grab the people who are learning it wrong and help them. Not beat them over the head. Love them. Pray for them. Help them. Hear me. Right? Okay? Snatching them back from the fire as well, if you will. All right? And we need to get them even effective again so we can get out there. Lead more people to Christ. Amen? And it's not meant to scare anyone. I'm not trying to say this to scare anybody or get heavy or make it like sound like the judgment before the judgment. This is to be an encouragement, all right? This is a rally cry, all right? Amen? Amen? To be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill our ministry. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:5 tells us this, and we must run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's a race for the very souls of this world, okay? A race that's been set before us that we call life. And the question is this, who will we live for in 2022 and beyond? Right? Have we been living our utmost for his highest all along, or is there some adjustments that need to be made, right, in our lives to better focus our eyes on Jesus? Looking unto him in all things as the author and the finisher, the creator, the perfecter, pick your translation, of our faith. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourself. Right? Luke 10, verse 27. How will we finish this race? And do any of us have yet to begin it? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8. As it was towards the end of his life, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And we all know from the word, Paul had no easy life, right? You find through the study of God's word that Paul, second only maybe to the suffering of Jesus, endured much for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel, and making sure as many people as he could would hear the word of God, would hear of the love of God and his saving grace in Jesus. of the salvation that he brings to all who would believe in him and turn from the ways of the world and begin the work of the kingdom. Okay? The Apostle Paul, who was facing at this time imminent execution by the Emperor Nero because he would not stop spreading the gospel of Jesus. He was imprisoned for his faith. He was kept underground in the Mamertine prison, and that was like a prison below the prison. It was like a cistern way down deep, deep underground, dark and damp, bound in chains, and yet Paul was still from all the way down there telling it on the mountain. Amen? Amen, that Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save the lost. And for Timothy now, he's charging him to take up the charge, to continue the race as each of us are to do today as disciples of Christ. Paul spent every waking moment of his life from the time that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, you can look that up in Acts 9, until the day he died walking in the will of God, teaching others about the good news of Jesus Christ, serving the kingdom of Jesus, serving others, loving well, living well, finishing well, right? Having fought the good fight, having kept the faith, having fulfilled the work of the ministry, and in so doing, passed it on to the next generation so that they can pass it on to the next and the next and the next until his return. Do you see a pattern forming here, right? Can we say the same? That's our question, right? Can we say the same, or is there work to be done, adjustment to be made? Do we need to hit God's gym and get into spiritual shape, right? Because we're still in the race. If we're here, if we're breathing, we're still in the race. We're here, right? Our time is not yet upon us. The finish line may be closer for some than it is for others, but that doesn't give those with more supposed time the option to take their time, does it? No. And those with less time have even less time to waste. This should not weigh us down. Okay? This should not weigh us down. This should get us fired up. Right? You fired up? This is cause for great excitement. This is opportunity to further the kingdom of Jesus. Amen? Amen? It's not only our commission, but it's our greatest honor. It is our greatest honor to tell everyone about Jesus, that none would be lost and all would come to know the love of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and join us with him, right? Join us with him in eternity that day, and that is the goal. That is the mission at hand. But we also know from the Word, not all, not everybody will come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are those who will reject him, as they did back during Jesus' early ministry, even when faced with the truth, even with actual Jesus himself in person, they still would not believe. And there will be those like that even today. That's reality, okay? But that doesn't give us license to not do what we're called to do, okay? There's going to be days where it's hard. There's going to be days like that where we're trying and it's not being received and it's head against wall kind of a feeling, right? But living a life for Jesus is not always a perfect and easy path. It comes at a cost to us. It does. And there will be days where we have to sacrifice some niceties or some pleasures or even sometimes some friends, hopefully not family, in this world, though, in light of the eternal world that is yet to come. But here's the good news. It's only for a little while. It's only for a little while, okay? Only while we're down here as his ambassadors, as his heralds, like the shepherds, for Christ Jesus, okay? The best is yet to come, okay? The best is yet to come. Our best life, as the world likes to say it, is not now. It's to come, okay? Hear me on that one. It's to come, all right? It's not yet, but it is to come, and it awaits us in eternity with Jesus. And all this is why we must be vigilant as the body of Christ, not even the individuals, right? The body of Christ, it's not an army of one. We're an army for the one. Amen? You with me? We're an army for the one. We're the Lord's army. And that's why Hebrews 10:25 tells us to not neglect to meet together. Okay? As the habit is of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay? We can't do this by ourselves. We need to be together as the body of Christ. The body of Christ is just that. It's all the people of his kingdom working together to fulfill the mission of his ministry as we await our time in glory when our Savior returns for his bride, the church, right? His body of believers, disciples who are at his good work and led by his good will. Now, until the end of the race, that time is not yet. But yet, the time is now, right? Right? Now is the time for us to get up, to get out there and serve our Savior, to serve our King. Now is the time for us to go tell someone, right? Tell anyone we meet about the love of Jesus and his saving grace. It's awkward. I struggle with it, but we need to do it, right? Now is the time for us to lay aside every encumbrance that keeps us from running the race with endurance. If we want to make any resolutions this year, let them start with our resolve to dig into the Word and really learn it, to meditate on it night and day, to be given to much prayer with our Lord, and attune our hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit that's alive. The Holy Spirit is alive within all of us who have been saved by grace through their faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? We need to listen to, we need to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Right? Letting the Holy Spirit direct our footsteps that have been ordered by the Lord. Right? To be as Paul was. Let's be like Paul. All right? Leaving no task given him for the sake of the ministry left undone. Right? Completing that which God gave him to do, even to the point of giving up his own life for the faith. Talk about standing firm in your faith. Paul did it even unto death. And a whole while, he was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. Acts 28:31. Paul did this every day of his life in Christ Jesus. He was not afraid to tell others about who Jesus was and what the Lord had done for him and them. And Paul spent his days from conversion to martyrdom, right? Spending every remaining day that he had working tirelessly for the kingdom of God. And that also means volunteering in church. There's my commercial plug, right? You've seen the sign-up lists. Get involved. Start here. And then we're reaching out. We are a church founded as disciples to go and serve the community, are we not? Are we not? I want to see some more of you on Tuesday morning. I do. I do when we're doing the food bank. I want to see you guys come on out and volunteer when we're reaching out into the community. And those of you who are, thank you. The rest of you, come on. Help us out. We're a team. And as Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that what I've done in my life, I'll do unto the end, and I will be a living sacrifice, Paul said, unto the Lord, for my love and my faithful obedience is a pleasing aroma unto God. Okay? An acceptable sacrifice. Remember what Paul said back in Romans 12, 1 and 2? It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. And that's why the Word tells us to run the race with endurance. The race is long, and it's not easy. Okay? We're not running from here to there. It's a marathon. Right? Right? And Paul lived out this example by living his life with endurance for the faith, pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, as we read in Philippians 3:14. And we should do that as well. When we reach the end of our natural lives, will we be able to speak with the same boldness Paul does? And we need to start that today. Okay? When he says he has fought the good fight, he finished the race, and he kept the faith. Right? And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. So are we continually, bringing it back to the challenge, are we continually taking inventory of our lives, right? To see how we're doing in relation to the will of God as found within his word. Are we living sacrifices holy and acceptable to God, or are we just living? Right, that was heavy. And if we're just living, who are we living for? Are we being renewed by the transforming of our minds or being conformed to this present age? Big questions, right? And this is the challenge, and I get to do this every year with you guys. This is the challenge, and it's for me too, all right? These are big questions that we need to be asking ourselves every day of our lives, not just before each new year. All right? Is that fair? Are we following the ways of the world, or are we serving the God of the Word? There it is. Paul was no different than you or I. He was a human being, just like us, right? Just like all of us. He didn't think that following Jesus was going to be a walk in the park either, no. He knew that it was that he was going to suffer for the faith. And it's a hard thing, suffering, right? Who looks forward to suffering? Who wakes up in the morning and thinks, wow, I can't wait to suffer today? No, it doesn't happen, right? But even in that suffering, remember the words in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, okay, that you should follow his steps. And you'll never be alone, as Jesus will always be with you even until the end of the age. And if I can, what little worship team we have left, if I can call them back up, I think it's just Seb at this point, or no, the ladies are here, come on back up if you will. Let me leave you with this. Let's not forget all of those who've gone on before us in the faith. Remember Hebrews 12:1. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, we're to be inspired by and follow the godly examples these saints set during their lives. So great a cloud. Millions of believers from the days of the prophets and the apostles and the great biblical leaders of old to all those who have come in Christ and have since gone on to glory, right? Those who bore the image of God and proclaimed the gospel message of his son, Jesus Christ, preachers, evangelists, family members, friends who lived their lives for Christ, who ran the race of the kingdom with endurance, fought the good fight, kept the faith, and have finished well the race that is set before them. And they've obtained that imperishable crown, that crown of righteousness, right? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give them on that day, and us, right? So let's bring it back around to that challenge this morning. What will our New Year's resolution be this year and in the years to come? Well, I encourage you to resolve to live your life for Christ to the fullest, okay? To the utmost for his highest, as it says, to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run that race together with endurance. The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, right, endured the cross, despised the shame, and what? Is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What are we waiting for? Now is the time, amen? Amen. Now that you're so excited, jump to your feet. Let's worship and praise our Father, shall we?